From the studios of Boise State Public Radio, I'm Gemma Gaudette, and this is Idaho Matters. It's been 5 years since a gunman killed 60 people and injured hundreds more at a Las Vegas music festival. So what does life look like now for the people impacted by those shootings? We wanted to share the experiences of survivors, first responders, and those people who lost someone. KNPR's senior producer, Kristen Kidman, reports for the Mountain West News Bureau.
The shooting at the Route 91 Harvest Festival lasted just 11 minutes and left 60 people dead. And as you might expect, it triggered discussions about gun control, even from some Las Vegas police officers, like Lieutenant Ray Spencer. A number of the shooter's weapons were equipped with what's known as a bump stock, allowing them to fire much faster.
I saw what that man did with a bump stock that night. Are there laws that should and can be passed that will make it more difficult for people who should not possess a gun to get their hands on a gun? It's hard for me not to support that type of legislation.
The police department also changed policy so officers would have a better chance at responding to a similar shooting. A stark realization came to Spencer as he ran through the crowd.
And I kind of pause and I look down at my hand, and I'm holding a handgun. As I take a deep breath and, you know, kept on running, knowing what the outcome of that type of firepower versus the Glock handgun that I was holding.
Spencer says at the time of the shooting, long rifles were kept in police vehicle trunks. Now officers carry those rifles at major events. Crowd safety at shows was a major discussion right after the shooting, especially in a city where several major events often happen at the same time. Here's survivor Craig Nyman, who works as a festival organizer.
Overall, I love that some of our venues and events here in town have switched to a new form of security detection, where it makes it easy to get into a venue and it only will stop for weapons and, you know, large masses, stuff like that. I think like getting people into venues easier would be a massive help for people so they can get out and enjoy themselves as quickly as possible.
Nyman would also like to see more events actively encouraging guests to report any suspicious activities.
You know, we need more people paying attention. We need everybody, like, again, if you see something, say something. We are all in this together.
After the shooting on October 1st, the Las Vegas medical community received worldwide attention for providing life-saving care to hundreds of people at once. And many of them have shared the lessons they learned with other medical professionals all over the world. Here's Dr. Deborah Cools, a trauma surgeon.
I've given over 50 talks on not only 1 October, but some of the lessons learned, how various hospitals of, you know, from small size to large size can prepare in case an event happens near them.
Cools is also involved in Stop the Bleed, a program that trains people to take care of someone losing a lot of blood. Courses are offered in trauma centers across Southern Nevada, and she says schools have participated too.
And it continues to be, I think, very relevant. It might not be a shooting, it might be some other event that results in someone bleeding, and by either holding pressure or applying a tourniquet could literally save a life.
When the shooting happened, Taz Upright came across a man who was bleeding severely from a gunshot wound.
As I was walking out, I'll never forget, there was this man. He was laying there. All he had was cowboy boots, and he was bleeding out.
Upright stopped and asked the police officer if she could help. The officer asked if she had medical training. When she said no, he told her to leave and get to a safe place.
And that moment, I told myself, like, I don't want to be helpless or useless again. I want next time to be like, yeah, I am. Give me some clothes. Let's go to work.
Upright started researching careers in emergency medical service. And less than a year after the shooting, she had started classes. Now she's working to become a firefighter.
I was told to always do more, so I have been doing more and got more certifications than, you know, I probably should have, but hopefully by next year I will finally be serving the community.
For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Kristen Kidman.
The 2017 mass shooting in Las Vegas left dozens dead and hundreds more injured. Thousands of people faced psychological trauma, as you can imagine. Next in our series, it looks at where survivors and first responders are in their mental health journeys. KNPR's Kristen Kidman reports for the Mountain West News Bureau.
Nothing prepares anyone, survivors, first responders, even community members, for dealing with the intense emotions that follow a mass shooting. The mental trauma was immediate for those at the Route 91 Harvest Music Festival. Craig Nyman wasn't hit by any of the more than 1,000 rounds fired that day, but he was in a state of shock for a couple of weeks.
So I'm not sure if anything that I was doing or saying was really matching up, making sense.
In the hours and days after the shooting, therapists around Las Vegas rose to the occasion. They understood that thousands of people were dealing with serious mental wounds.
One of my friends, her therapist, offered to see people who had survived Route 91 and go through trauma therapy sessions at no cost. And that one gesture by a friend and by a therapist saved my life.
But sometimes the hardest part of starting therapy is recognizing when it's needed. Kimberly King's partner was shot in the chest, and she struggled with getting help at first.
Growing up, I was taught to just like brush it off, put everything under the rug. You don't go and tell your problems to someone. You know, you deal with them.
She started going to therapy a few years after the shooting, after seeing the progress Billy King was making in his sessions.
I've just learned that it does help, even if it's not a mass shooting you go through. But for anything, we have trauma of situations when we're children and don't even realize that it definitely shaped us as adults.
Today, there's an ongoing national conversation about providing mental health services for police officers. Many, like Las Vegas Police Lieutenant Ray Spencer, expect that they will see and experience horrific things, but they may be slow to get help because they still have a job to do, a crime to investigate, and a community to protect.
I'm the incident commander to the largest mass shooting in U.S. history, and you can't really put the type of stress that puts on someone, especially when you're in a predicament when there's not much you can do other than try to save lives.
Spencer eventually did open up to a mental health professional and other officers. He made that decision in 2019 after giving a presentation about the shooting at a police conference.
I realized talking about it and explaining what I went through and what I saw out there that day kind of gives officers a different perspective, and I think it was beneficial. And, you know, it's helped me talk about it as well. You know, here we are 5 years later, and, you know, it's still like it was yesterday to me.
Though more than 2 million people live in the Las Vegas Valley, it can sometimes feel like a small town. That was especially true in the aftermath of the shooting. Most people know someone who was either at the concert, a first responder, or a medical professional who treated patients. Tanil Pereira is the director of the Las Vegas Strong Resiliency Center. This is an organization created in response to the tragedy. She says it's normal for an entire community to grieve after a mass shooting, even those who aren't directly affected.
A lot of us kind of put our needs or maybe our processing on the back burner because our trauma wasn't as bad, right? There is different degrees of trauma, but all trauma, you know, needs to be kind of dealt with and processed, or it can have negative consequences in our life.
Pierre says healing will look different for everyone impacted by the shootings. But 5 years later, she's seeing a lot of hope. She recently met with some survivors in the Healing Garden, a place where people can quietly reflect on the tragedy and honor those who were lost.
When they first went there, they couldn't go when other people were there. It was such an emotional experience, and it was so much grief, and the feelings were just very overwhelming.
Now, Pereira says they're like caretakers of the garden, which was built just a few days after the shooting. There is a tree planted for each victim, with mementos and thoughtful art pieces surrounding them.
And they say now when they look around and they're there, it's just healing. And they just feel good and positive and want to just share their healing with others that are there.
Still, she says recovering takes time. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Kristen Kidman.
The 2017 mass shooting in the Las Vegas Strip sparked a lot of changes that were aimed at protecting not just tourists, but locals as well. And a lot of advocacy work was driven by survivors, doctors, and police. KNPR's Kristen Kidman reports for the Mountain West News Bureau in the last part of our series.
The Route 91 Harvest Festival is the deadliest mass shooting in American history, and it left an indelible mark on many lives. For some, it completely changed the dynamics of their relationships.
Yeah, we eloped.
We eloped, and nobody even knew.
Kimberly and Billy King were living together and raising children in Las Vegas, but they were unsure where their relationship was headed. All that changed when Billy suffered life-altering wounds after getting shot in the chest.
I had no say or anything on what happened to him, and I had all his blood on me, but yet didn't have no rights to even go see him. And we immediately were like, no, we need to get married.
the gunman fired from the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino. Billy worked at Delano, a hotel on the same property, and the memories of October 1st still haunt him.
I usually don't go to Mandalay Bayside. In a situation, I had to take care of a guest, and I went to that floor. Honestly, every day is a reminder. I go there, and I think about it no matter what.
Many people were at work the night of the shooting, including Police Lieutenant Ray Spencer. He came across dozens of victims at the concert's main stage.
One of the things I remember about that is people had cell phones in their pockets, and you could see the phones ringing, mom, dad, you know, their loved ones calling, looking for them, that they're never coming home again.
It's an image Spencer continues to carry with him.
And I'll never forget that, because you never know what tomorrow brings. And that's why, you just have to live every day with that knowledge and, do the best that you can while you're here and just enjoy the time that you are here.
Not taking life for granted is a sentiment expressed by many survivors, including Craig Nyman. He didn't suffer physical wounds in the shooting, but bears mental trauma.
That night made me realize that every day that I'm here on this earth is a chance to have another 24 hours to do great and do the best things I can. So to me, I'm not promised tomorrow, but I was given another chance.
It took years for Nyman to recover. The concert promoter says despite the horrors of that night, he knew he was going to keep creating shows, in part because music is healing.
Took a lot of rebuilding myself and deciding that I wanted more and that I wanted to bring back the joy and happiness that I would have every single day. And I can tell you that it happened for 4 years, 1 month, and 6 days. It took me to get happy.
But it finally came after attending a concert with his family.
Because there was one specific day that I woke up, and the next morning I went downstairs in my house and unprovoked, and I'm in the house by myself, and I just said, with a big smile on my face, I just felt genuinely happy.
For Robert Patterson and his daughter, Brooke, the shooting's aftermath means sharing victim Lisa Patterson's story.
We just hit it off from the very beginning. My main thing is I was going to marry her from when I first met her.
She was like a big part of our life. She was involved with our school, our sport. She'd always be at my school.
Lisa was at the concert with her friends. She was one of the first victims publicly named, and photos of the smiling mother of three were shown in articles and newscasts all over the world.
Lisa just loved being a mom. And even when I met her, that was her main goal, was to be a mom.
My mom, she was like a very like loud person. She knew everybody and everybody knew her because of like who she was.
Robert and his family now encourage everyone to live like Lisa P. They printed this phrase on green bracelets, hoping it reminds people to do random acts of kindness for others. Meanwhile, survivors Billy and Kimberly King made major career changes.
As of probably 3 days ago, I told my boss I wasn't going to be back after I have a surgery, pretty much telling him I'm ready to go after 23 years.
They have their own business, helping people prepare documents for taxes, divorces, and other legal matters. And you may be able to hear another exciting event for the Kings. They recently welcomed baby Kenzie, making them a blended family of seven.
She was a missing piece that we didn't think was missing.
And then now that, she's here, I don't even like to leave her side.
For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Kristen Kidman.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Experiencing the news each day can feel like a journey. With Up First from NPR, it doesn't have to be. Welcome to 15 easy minutes of breaking news, clarity on international and national affairs, all handed over not from some floating voice in the sky, from us, Layla, A, Steve, and me, Rachel. Start your day informed. Subscribe to Up First wherever you get your podcasts.